الحمد لله رب العالمين عدد خلقه ورضا نفسه وزنة عرشه ومداد كلمات ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سبح لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لم تقولون ما لا تفعلون كبر مقتا عند الله أن تقولوا ما لا تفعلون إن الله يحب الذين يقاتلون في سبيله صفا كأنهم بنيان مرصوص وإذ قال موسى لقومه يا قوم لم تؤذونني وقد تعلمون أني رسول الله إليكم فلما زاغوا أزاغ الله قلوبهم والله لا يهدي القوم الفاسقين آمنت بالله صدق الله العظيم اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد المجتبى أحمد المصطفى وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أما بعد Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa azza wa jal has mentioned in the verses in his blessed words which I have recited with the tawfiq and fadl of Allah azza wa jal Sabbaha lillahi ma fi samawati wa ma fi al-ard Whatever is in the heavens and earth glorifies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So by saying this, Allah azza wa jal is indicating and drawing our attention that He is not in need of any glorification. He is not in need of any glorification, any ibadat, or any worship whatsoever. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that even things which we consider are lifeless, like stones, trees, heavens, earth, everything is glorifying. Every atom of this universe and every seen and unseen living thing or non-living thing is glorifying Allah, is doing the tasbih of Allah, is actually worshipping Allah and is serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one should never have in mind that maybe I am asked again and again to follow Allah, I am encouraged again and again to pray and to work for his deen and to do dhikr. It seemed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala somewhat need my help, or he needs my glorification or my tasbih or my dhikr or my tabligh or da'wah or anything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove this misconception altogether, that never it should become, even for a split second it should pass into your mind. Allah is Samad. Samad, which you read in Surah Ikhlas every day. Allahu Samad. And Samad is the person who everyone and everything is in need of, and who himself is not in need of anything or everything. That is Samad. Jo hum padhte hain roz Allahu Samad, to uska matlab ye hai ki Allah ki wo zaat hai, har cheez, har banda, anbiya se leke aam bandu tak, farishton se leke aur dusri makhlooq tak, wo uske muhtaj hain aur wo zaat kisi ke muhtaj nahi. Isliye usko kisi ki tasbih ki, kisi ke zikr ki, kisi ki ibadat ki, kisi ke sajdon ki koi zarurat nahi. So you should be rest assured in your comfort. Aap comfortable ho jaye. Allah is not in need of you or your worship or your any effort at all. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to the believers, giving command to them and instructions to them. Then the question arises, then why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then command us to do things and He prohibits us, He stops us from doing certain things? Then why is that? We are all day and night encouraged to do things and not to do things. There Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ رِزْقٍ وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَن يُطْعِمُونَ إِنَّ اللَّهُ وَالرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. Allah azza wa jal said, it is for your benefit only. You are going to benefit or you are going to suffer harm if actually you don't. Not Allah. Not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's angels. They are beyond that. So, like we encourage people to eat and drink and take medicine for their health, similarly, the amals, the good deeds and the bad deeds are also rizq. One is the rizq which take you to Jannah, the other bad deeds are the rizq, is the breeding of shaitan which actually prepares you for hellfire, to be consumed by hellfire. That is the bad deed. So it's up to you what type of rizq you eat. If you eat the good rizq, meaning the good deeds, the amale saliha, the prayer, the zikr, the salah, the fasting, the remembrance of Allah, you will be consuming blessings in paradise. And if you eat the wrong type of rizq, which is bad deed, which is zina, fornication, or other sins, then you won't consume, but you will be consumed by the hellfire, and which is a place which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared for the wrongdoers. It's mentioned in one of the hadith that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to command for the resurrection and the day of judgment, Allah azza wa jal will command the angels of the first heaven, jo asmane duniya ke farishte hain, the angels which live, the angels, the malaika which lives in the first heaven, jo pehle asman ke farishte jahan rehte hain, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to command them that I am going to hold everyone accountable. I want you to go on the face of the earth and hold and capture the ones which I command. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in one of the hadiths that angels, countless angels from the first heaven, they are going to descend, itne malaika utrenge, and everyone is going to capture one person, one animal, even actually the fish in the sea, even the animals in the jungle, every angel is going to, you may say, arrest, in other words, actually, the people, the jinnat, every even single jinn and shaitan is going to be captured. Every animals living in the jungle is going to be captured and arrested. Actually, now they can't move even one step left or right or forward. So they are going to, all these angels are going to take them towards a new earth which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to create and replace with this earth, where the question and answer will take place. So imagine, it is very, very difficult matter. After bringing all these people together and arresting them in a circle, and they will be so put together that each other will be trampling upon the feet and each other, of each other. And together they will be, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, they will be sweating according to their level of deeds. Some will have just normal sweat, some will actually have a sweat which they will be covered until their knees, and some until their chests, according to, and you can imagine how a person feels. And why it would not be like this? The sun has drawn closer, the sun has come down, and the heat of the sun is scorching them. Why are they not dehydrating? Why are they not dying? This is the question. A person thinks, if the sun comes close, then the person will become unconscious, the person will dehydrate, the person will fall. But the point is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also finish, you may say, the death as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will destroy death as well at that time, that no death is going to come to anyone now. So you will always live, either you live in pain or blessing, that is actually, however, depending upon the deeds of the person. So a person will be sweating, or Hazur Ghaus-e Pak Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani rahimahullah say, that one person will see his own brain melting and flowing in his feet, but he will be watching it, but he won't die, he won't lose the senses, because the spirit, because the Ruh is overruling now, the Ruh is the seer, and the Ruh doesn't need the brain to see, the Ruh doesn't need the eyes to see, the Ruh doesn't need the ears to hear, the Ruh itself is a very powerful creation. So the spirit will be actually existing, and it will be observing whatever is happening to the body. But unfortunately, the person will not die. They will call death, but they're not going to die. So then the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that all these angels, after with every person, one angel is going to grab them, that you were running here and there on the face of, you were very busy in your businesses and your marketplaces and with your wife and children. Now the time has expired, so they are going to put them in one place, and all of them together, they are going to stand in a halqa. They will surround the humanity and jinnat behind them, actually, so that the human will see the angels are surrounding them, and they will not be the size of normal human beings. One angel, you will stand, you will not, it will be equal to about 60 meters high. Different sizes of those angels. So a person will be looking up even to see them, how they look. And they will be very fearful angels. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will instruct the angels of the second heaven to come down. They will be 20 times more than them, even in numbers, than the first ones. So they will come. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instruct the third heaven's angels to come down. They will be, it is said, 30 times multiplied by the numbers already the angels are there. So turn by turn, the fourth and fifth and sixth. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself will descend, and according to his majesty, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa azza wa jal is going to say, O Bani Adam, O the jinnat, since I've created you, you've been speaking, I've been listening. Now no one is allowed to speak. Since I created you, you've been practicing and doing deeds, and I've been observing you. Now actually, no one is allowed to do any action and even step. This will be the first address of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the people of Hashr. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said that Allah will be in such a wrath, such a anger, that He has never become such angry before, or He will not become after on that day. Because now, in one day, all those wrongs which we have been doing in our 50, 60 years life, 70 years life, not only me and you, but actually the entire humanity who have been living 1,000 years, some have been living 800 years, some has been living 900 years, some 50 years, 60 years. Every person, what they have done, they know, and we know that things, what type of heinous crimes and sinful things we actually do day and night, and because of that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be displeased with the people who have wronged themselves, and then thereafter the hashr actually of the person is going to begin. But I was mentioning to you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ, that whatever is in the heavens and earth glorifies Allah. So Allah is not in need of my glorification. Allah is not in need of my worship, my sujood or anything. The only person who is going to benefit from my obedience is myself, and the only person who is going to be harmed and suffer is also myself. And with this scenario and the days which we are going through from the childhood, bachpan se, from the childhood, people start hearing the story of Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and the Karbala, and what happened there, and how the story unfolded. So from the childhood, then they were 10 years old, 12 years old, like the children now sitting upstairs, they are hearing that something happened. In these days, they watch on the TV, they listen from the parents. But years pass by, the person from the childhood, they enter the youth age, and from the youth age, they enter the adult age, and from the adult age, they are now actually going towards old age, but no change comes to the person. They hear the story, and they might shed a few tears as well, like they are feeling sorry for Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and they shed few tears and cry here and there, and 10 days or 8 days or 10 days, they think just mourning 10 days, and the rest of the year they are actually following shaitan and Yazid lifestyle, and they think they can deceive na'udhu billah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that his message and his life was a full lifestyle. It's not matter of 10 days, it's not matter of Muharram, it's not matter of Ashura, but still he gave some an infinite, I would say, lessons for all people until Day of Judgment. So today I would just like to mention few, an overview of Sayyidina Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and give you the message that the message is for you to change, not for you to listen. Listening is small thing. People of Yazid were watching the tragedy, but if they did not follow Imam Hussain, they did not benefit from it. What will listening actually give you? Sunne se aapko kya milega? Jinhone dekha bhi aur apna amal nahi badla, to wo Yazidi ke saath hashr hoga. Isliye Imam زین العابدین نے فرمایا کہ جو میرے بابا سے محبت کرتا ہے, ہم سے محبت کرتا ہے, امام حسین سے, یزید سے نفرت کرتا ہے, تو اس کو چاہیے کہ وہ میوزک جو ہے سننا بند کر دے, وہ جوا کھیلنا بند کر دے, وہ شراب پینا بند کر دے, وہ بے پردہ ہونا بند کر دے. یہ چار چیزیں انہوں نے فرمایا. امام زین العابدین said, whoever loves me and my father and thinks they are my party and they hate Yazid, they should stop listening to music, they should stop gambling, and they should stop drinking alcohol and using drugs, and they should stop actually shaving beards, and the women, they should stop actually being unveiled. He said, because these things remind me of the day of Karbala and the time I spent in the palace of Yazid. Time I spent in the palace of Yazid. Because when Imam Ali Zain al-Abidin went to Sham, the Syria, with Sayyida Zainab, the Yazid were actually celebrating, the music was actually on, and there were people were dancing, and the music actually was being played, and the drums and things and music were playing, they were celebrating. They said, what is the celebration, the people? Some foreigners were coming there, they asked, what is this celebration? They said, there is some rebellious people who rebelled against the government, and good news has come that the government has crushed them, actually, and we are celebrating that the government has crushed the rebellious movement which was there. And therefore, maybe this is kuffar, it is someone, they didn't know. But when they saw the kafila and the people belonging to the family of Sayyidina Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala, and they say, who are they? This is the family of the Prophet. They said, woe to you, woe to you that you are celebrating the death of the son of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his martyrdom. Is this the rebellious people who you are? So Imam Zain al-Abidin said, because when we went on that day, the Yazidi people were playing music and singing and celebrating. So whenever I hear music, it reminds me of that day when we faced Yazid. So whoever loves us, stop actually doing that. My grandfather or my actually father never actually listened to this type of actually music which at that time actually were prevalent in Yazid. And he did many other things. And he also said that when we stayed, Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was with his servant Nafi. Nafi, rahmahullah, is one of the great tabi'i, and they were going somewhere, and suddenly in the desert, they heard a flute, someone playing flute, and the Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar put his hands in his ears, and he said to Nafi that go very quickly. And he asked that, is the sound of that type of music still coming? And Hazrat Nafi said, yes, my master. He again actually travels a certain amount of distance. He again asked, he said, yes. And then he said, no, it's not coming. And Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar said, I did what Rasulullah ﷺ did, but I saw him doing as well, today actually. So, Imam Ali Zain al-Abidin said this. Second thing he said, I saw in the Yazid's palace, his people were gambling. The people were playing, like we go in casino and gambling and these things. He said, that reminds me of actually the tragedy and their celebration. And third thing he said, using drugs and alcohol and women actually being unveiled, they were not actually be veiled. So he said, these things remind, and he gave this message after the Karbala, that whoever loves us, Imam Ali Zain al-Abidin, Imam Sajjad, the son of Imam Hussain, radiallahu ta'ala, he mentioned this. Anyway, an overview of Sayyidina Imam Hussain, radiallahu ta'ala, one lesson we can learn from there is that Imam Hussain, radiallahu ta'ala, had worked out what mission of his life was, and he had strong conviction and certainty that he is on truth, and if he is on truth, he will stay steadfast there. Now we can learn that. Our problem is that we are undecided about things. That is why we can't stand on something. We give in to shaitan, people, you know, we are very religious on certain matters. Okay, I'm going to do this, I won't do this. But then when 10 people get together, 50 people get together, they pressurize us, then we say, oh, we have to do compromise now, anything. But when a person is actually truthful and they have certainty and yakin on their purpose of life and their mission, then they don't move from there. That is one lesson which we get. So you also need to work out that is your mission here on this world and on this face of earth to please Allah or not to please Allah. Once you work that out, then you can stand your ground. Be it others, be it whoever is against you. No one actually is actually infallible or masoom except the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So no, everyone is followed. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, when the first time he became caliph, first day he delivered khutbah after being a khalifa, he said, oh people, you should follow me until I follow Allah's Messenger and Allah. You are not obliged to follow me if I don't follow them. So today no peer, no scholar, no alim, no murshid, no mujtahid, or no one, anyone what they call themselves, is followed unconditionally. Unconditional obedience only is to Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All others, if they are following him, they are above our head and eyes. And if they don't, then we are not obliged to follow them. Because masoom only actually is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala knew that he is following his grandfather. He is not going to be impressed by these modern day scholars which Yazid have, where they say do this and we'll do this and etc. etc. Making things, unlawful things, lawful by giving dalail here and there. He quoted verses of Quran to Imam Ali Zain al-Abidin. Yazid, he said, Allah has written this, that see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disbased your father. And he quoted some verses. And Imam Zain al-Abidin answered him and said that your understanding is wrong. But his scholars has mentioned to him that maybe you are right. The scholars who go near or stay near and who are living on the money given by governments and grants and governments and people, be it in Pakistan, be it in Arabia, be it in 14th century before, our awliya and mashayikh never actually were living on the grants and actually the money of actually the people of government, because they cannot speak truth then against them. They cannot speak truth against them. You need to be actually eating from your own hands and own actually livelihood, or living or being patient wherever, if you want to speak the truth. So Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala, and after him, that is one of the lessons. Second lesson which he gave through his life was, I'm just doing an overview of his incident and his teachings, that when Hazrat Hur bin Yazid rahmatullah alayhi, he was the person who surrounded Imam Hussein's army. Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala knows companions and his blessed women of the Ahlul Bayt, he was the person from Yazid's army who surrounded them and actually cornered them into the Karbala. But Hur was a commander, very strong person, but before the war starts, he already knew Imam Hussain is right, and others knew as well, there was no doubt, but it is money, it is ohda, it is office, I will make you secretary, I will make you governor, I will give you this. Yazid was actually saying things like this to people, and they had this want of these things. So they could see the truth, but they say we signed with the Yazid, because we are going to get money and office and other things. But Hur was actually also a person at that time, and he, when the war was just to begin, and at the last day, on the 10th of Muharram, he said that now heaven and hell is actually in balance. My heaven and hell is in balance, and he came to the other side of Imam Hussein. But the point which I am pointing is that if someone has wronged you so much that he has sieged your family, he has sieged you and has actually put you in so much difficult situation that you are now nearly extinct because of him, And this person comes and now at such late stage, he is asking to forgive him. What courage, what heart it takes to forgive that person. So the lesson for me and you is, this person said this to me, I can't forgive him. This person this did to me, I can't. The lesson is this lesson is there. Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala is giving through Hazrat Qurr bin Yazid, that a person who sealed his sisters, his wives, himself, his brothers, his uncles, his cousins, and now it's not that they are going to be released. Now he is put in them into the trap of Yazid. He can't take them out, but still he is sorry. Imam Hussain could have said, now what is the benefit of sorry now when we are fully now besieged, when we are fully now facing death, our women are facing death, our children are facing, what is the need, and what is the meaning of sorry now? But Imam Hussain radiallahu anhu said, you have asked forgiveness, I will also intercede on day of judgment for you. You will be free from hell on the day of judgment as well. I say this. He said this to Imam Hur. He said, you are free, your name is Hur. Hur means a free person. You are free in dunya and you are free in akhirah as well, inshaAllah. So Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala blessed him, not only forgave him, but gave him paradise and good news of Jannah as well. So this is a lesson for us. The people who have wronged you, have they wronged you so much that they've killed your whole family? They besieged your whole family? Maybe they said few words against you. Maybe they have taken some money from you. Maybe they have done some other things, minor things which people in families, in communities, in committees, in local matters between husband and wife and things. But we are nourishing that grudge up to the day of death. I am not forgiving him. Even though outwardly you say, yes, but still the grudge is there all the time. And if you are actually nourishing it. تو ایک سبق یہ مل رہا ہے, یہ درجہ وہ کیوں جنت کے شہزادے ہیں کہ بھئی جس نے ان کی بیٹیوں, ان کی بیویوں اور ان کے بھائیوں اور ان کے نواسوں اور ان کے بھتیجوں کو موت کے منہ میں ڈال دیا, اس کو بھی آپ نے معاف کر دیا, اس نے معافی مانگ لی. ہمیں یہ سبق مل رہا ہے کہ آپ جائیں, یہ آنسو بہانے سے فائدہ نہیں ہوگا. وہ یزیدی بھی بہت روتے تھے, جب قتل کر لیا, شہید کر لیا, پھر کوفے والے رونا شروع کر دیا, ہائے کیا ہو گیا, ہم نے بڑا ظلم کیا, بہت ظلم ہوا, یہ ہوا وہ ہوا. یہ کراکوڈائل ایئرز جو ہیں, یہ ٹیئرز جو ہیں, یہ نہیں چلیں گے. دے آر ناٹ گوئنگ ٹو ایکچولی ورک کراکوڈائل ٹیئرز. دے آر ڈیمانڈنگ ایکشن فرام یو. اگر امام حسین سے محبت ہے تو یہ داڑھی کاٹنا چھوڑو, یہ جوا بند کر دو, یہ شراب بند کر دو, بے پردہ. سیدہ زینب نے تو جب وہ چادر نہ رہی تو اپنے بالوں سے اپنا چہرہ ڈانپ لیا. وہ راج کی عورت کہتی ہے, میں ان کے پیچھے چل رہی ہوں, میں بڑی محبت کرتی ہوں, دو آنسو بہائے, ان کے مزار پر گئے, going to visit his shrine and then actually living a life like any actress, any model, any other person. وہ مرد بھی خاموش ہیں, ان کی بیوی نے پردہ کر رہی ہے نہیں, دے آر ناٹ باگر, ان کی بیٹی کر رہی ہے نہیں, دے آر ہیپی, مینی دے سے دیر از دیئر اون لائف. بٹ وین تھنگز دے ڈونٹ ڈو, دے ڈونٹ پریس دیئر کلوز, دے ڈونٹ واش دیئر کلوز, دے ڈونٹ پریپیئر فوڈ, دین دے ڈونٹ سے, دین دے سے یس, دین دے آلویز کوشچن دم. وین دے اسپینڈ ایکسٹرا, وین دے گیٹ اینی منی آؤٹ آف دیئر پاکٹ, دے کوشچن دم. لیکن وین دے آر اسٹیلنگ دین, they are hurting the heart of Imam Hussain and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are not bothered. This is not true love. This is just a fraud which a person is doing. This is not going to work because it's already been done. The Yazidi people, the Kufi people already have done this fraud and it didn't work. They pretended to be very faithful. They pretended to be nare mate, ya Hussain, hum aapke saath hain. جب قربانی کی باری آئی تو وہ بینیفٹ یزید کی طرف چلے گی. دس آور 10 days وی سے وی آر ود یو امام حسین, اینڈ آفٹر 10 days دا الکاہول از جمپنگ ان دا الکاہول, دا ڈرگ از جمپنگ ان دا ڈرگز, دا فورنیکیٹر, دا زانی از جمپنگ ان زنا. دیٹ از دا سچویشن. تو ایک سبق جو ہے, دوسرا سبق جو دیا حضرت امام حسین رضی اللہ تعالی نے, کہ بندے کو معاف کیا جا سکتا ہے جب وہ معافی مانگ لے, اتنا بڑا جرم بھی کر لیا ہو, ان کی جان بھی ختم کر دی ہے. ہی آلموسٹ Thawar actually finished his life, he besieged his life and the life of his family and the life of his children, but he still forgave. Aap hum bhi kar le maaf. Ye hai fayda. This is the lesson. And the second and third lesson obviously is there, that no matter what, how great heinous crime you have done, still if you have not died, there is an opportunity for you to do tawbah like Hur. He was the person who besieged them, but now his mazar is in Karbala, where people go and say salam to him, because he is now blessed person. So if you have done wrong things, there is opportunity for you as well. Another lesson there is that there is a lesson and model in Karbala for all types of people. For children there is a lesson there as well. There is 6 months Sayyidina Imam Asghar radiallahu Ali Asghar, wo bhi hai udhar. There is 9-10 year old child as well. There is 14 year old child as well. So there is lesson for in Karbala for every aspect and every age. So if you are ill and you say I can't work, I can't actually act upon deen, but I'm ill these days. Look at Imam Zainul Abidin, he was the ill person in Karbala. If you cannot actively act upon deen and work for deen, then don't sin at least. आप बीमार हैं तो ठीक है, आप मस्जिद नहीं जा सकते, लेकिन उसका मतलब ये नहीं टीवी लगा के फिल्में देखो और एक्चुअली जो है गेमें खेलते रहो और गीबत करते रहो, ये तो नहीं. दिस डजंट मीन दैट. सो इफ यू आर इल, देयर इज सर्टन थिंग्स यू कैन डू, सर्टन थिंग्स यू कांट डू. सो देयर इज लेसन फॉर पीपल हु आर इल. देयर अ लेसन फॉर पीपल, फॉर एग्जाम्पल वीमेन वर इन्वॉल्व देयर एज वेल. औरतें भी थी वहां, बूढ़े भी थे सहाबा में से. And so there is a lesson for you see for children, because children were present, they offered their sacrifice. The youth, 16-year-old, 17-year-old, 18-year-old, 19-year-old youth were there as well. Who were there? Who sacrificed? So there is a lesson for them. Then they were ill people, then they were women, then there was hunger and thirst. That when you are hungry and thirsty, still you can stay steadfast or not. There is lesson there. So you see the whole spectrum of actually lesson for you, giving you. And on the day of judgment, like I mentioned, a person is going to be asked about them. The other is the lesson for children. Look at the Sayyida Sakina, the daughter of Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Like some sisters, young sisters, for example, they suffer many circumstances which are not favorable in family matters and things. But look at Hazrat Sakina radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in front of her father is being slayed, her brother are being actually martyred, her uncles are being actually tortured, but she stayed steadfast upon actually deen and upon sharia. So there is a lesson for there. So today if any young girl say, oh, I am being wrong, something is happening bad to me, etc., etc., yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of that, and He has actually given you a lesson and a model in the life of Hazrat Sakina, the young daughter of Hazrat Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And how do children of our age look? I can't have this, I want this game, I want this pair of shoes. They're not happy with the parents and many, many things. If parents say something, they are not happy. If the parents admonish them, they are not happy. For them there's life, for those children in Hazrat Sakina and other the children of Karbala, that in front of them they're not getting even enough food and water to drink, and the fathers are actually commanding to go and fight in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their brothers are being, but they are silent and they are cooperating and praying for their success and for their istiqama. So for children as well, in children of Ahlul Bayt, there is lesson for the children of today as well. That you are not happy with the parent because they have not got certain pair of shoes, certain jacket, certain car for you. You are not here for this actually. This is all going to end. And then another lesson is in the life of Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the brother of Imam Hussein, the son of Hazrat Ali from a different mother than other than Sayyida Fatima al-Zahra. who Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu sent to fetch water from the Karbala, and certain other things he asked him to dig the well in the Karbala as well. He understood or not, he did whatever Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu said. In his life we find the example of obedience to the leader, obedience to the Amir, the person who was made a supervisor or Amir over you, like Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala was the Amir of the Qafla, he was the leader. So Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu set an example that if the leader asks, go to the Karbala, and there are whole hundreds of army in the way of the Daryae is in the river Furat, and actually there he didn't say, oh ya Imam Hussain, ye to army hai bahut zyada wahan to bahut log hai, main kaise jaunga pani leke aunga. No, when someone you know is leader, someone is Amir, and they are asking something lawful to you, to do something lawful, then you don't actually say if and but, then you carry on the command. So he went there, although he reached there and he came back, but his blessed arms were cut, they were martyred, but he did follow. And he said about him that he did not actually even drink water for himself, because he said that I'll give water to Imam Hussain and others first. This is going, showing, giving preference and compassion upon creation, giving preference to the creation. And then we find many, many other lessons in Sayyida Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha, the blessed sister of Imam Hussain, the daughter of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In her life, the example is in of our women who say we are in trouble, our husband is not cooperating, our husband is a sinner, I have to support myself. Okay, they shouldn't be doing these things. The sisters, the mothers should not suffer. But I am saying that if they are suffering, then look at Sayyida Zainab, who had financial difficulties at that time. That there was not enough food to feed her or her children. Her brother is lying in blood, cold blood actually, slain. Her husband, her other relatives are there. Difficulties to thi. But there were difficulties, and people have difficulties in marriage. But what did Sayyida Zainab do at that time? Under depression and other thing, that you leave Sharia or you just follow the crowd, or you leave following the Sunnah or the Hijab or the Parda. No. She is an example for the women until Day of Judgment who are going through financial difficulties, who are going through illness, who have to bring up families, who do not have the pious husbands, or who have abusive fathers, or other matters, or the muashara, or the society is not supporting. There is the lesson there. So all these people, they sacrifice themselves and set an example for so that the deen, the message of deen can be conveyed to us. Now all these people have gone, they are living, and they are martyrs, they are living, but the weight of that deen, now they've left on our shoulders now. It's up on me and you, the weight now. They've gone, they fulfilled their responsibility. It was very heavy weight for them to forbear. This was a big sacrifice, millions times big sacrifice, but they withstood. They annihilated themselves, but they held up the flag of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the deen of Islam. But now, me and you, sitting, listening, speaking, will not benefit as such. Now the weight is upon mine and your shoulders, that how we are going to firstly practice this deen of Rasulullah ﷺ and the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and then convey it to the others, the four corners or the all corners of the world. That should be our wish and our try. And then we should reorganize our life. Yes, I have a financial duty, I have a children, I have wife, but I have Allah as well. I have a messenger as well. I owe something to them as well. And then actually set your portion, that's what I am going to give you. But what it should be, that should be a full-time responsibility, and to other things we should give part-time. But unfortunately we are not giving part-time as well. So that is why at the end I am inviting you that if you yourself have not let the deen of Rasulullah ﷺ or the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ enter your body, then you yourself learn in the halqa of 10-15 minutes after about and give your name, learn the method of the Prophet ﷺ, how you can also be one of the followers of Imam Hussein. And if you are doing that, alhamdulillah, then actually give your name to work for this deen, actually to go forward. And as you know, in Tariqah Muhammadiyah, after Rasulullah ﷺ and Sayyidina Ali, it is the name of Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. This actually tariq belongs to him. He is the grand master of actually the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam verily said he is the leader and he is the prince of paradise as well. So ab aapki aur meri zimmedari hai ki hum ab khud nahi amal kar rahe to khud tarika seekhe, agar kar rahe hain to phir aage phailane ka tarika seekhe. You have to get out of your houses and spend some wealth and time, then actually, inshallah, you will. Kisi ne kaha ki surma ko dekhen, surma pehle kitna pista hai, pehle pahad mein hota hai, pehle pista hai, phir aankhon mein lagaya jata hai. So if you will also be actually humble in the way deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like Imam Hussain, that pise Allah ke liye, ab dekhe sab ki aankhon ka surma bane hue hain, farishton ki aankhon ka surma hai, jannat ke wo tare hain, عرش کے وہ ستون ہے. کیوں کہ وہ جو ہے مٹے دین کے لیے. تو ہم بھی اپنے اپنے درجے میں جو تھوڑا بہت ہمارے پاس علم یا عقل یا اللہ نے مال یا کچھ چیز دی ہے وہ اپنی اپنی لے کے اللہ کو دیں. ہمیں بھی اللہ پاک اپنے فضل سے وہ اپنے فضل سے درجہ عطا فرمائے گا ہمارے درجے کے مطابق. جی اب آپ کی باری ہے. امام حسین has played his role, now it is your turn. بس ایسے ہی کوفی بھی ایسے ہی خاموش بیٹھے تھے. وہی کہتے ہم ٹھیک ہے امام حسین رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے نواسے ہیں. نہیں 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 میرے تو کاروبار بھی ہے, بھائی بچے بھی ہیں, بل بھی دینے ہیں, مارگیج بھی دینی ہے, یزید بینیفٹ بند کر دے گا. بس وہ بیٹھے رہے, میں آپ بھی بیٹھے رہے.
ان شاء اللہ فرسٹلی فار دوز پیپل ہو ہیو ناٹ اسٹارٹڈ دس جرنی آن دس پاتھ آف دی کلوزنس ٹو اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی, please, if you would like to give your names and just for about 15-20 minutes, there's no commitment, just to see what's available and how we can live this life of sin. And then after that, it's entirely up to yourself. But this is an opportunity from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so don't let this go, inshallah. So please.
Zikr ke baad, about 15 minutes, brothers will be sitting in a circle and explaining to you so that you can at least have an idea that how you can at least start a journey or change your life, actually. And if you then find it well, good and well. If you already change, then learn how to spread the message, inshallah.
Any other brother? Khadim.
Brother Afzal ka likhe. Brother Umar is from Liberia. That's right. Our name, mashallah. Dekhiye, ye Liberia se aaye hain, wo taiyar hain. Ye brother Kamar pehli dafa aaye hain, lekin ye bhi seekh rahe hain. Kamar means moon. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you the moon which guides people, enlightens people actually towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Inshallah, for the other brothers, if you don't want to give your name just yet, you can sit in the circle after it, inshallah. For the other brothers who are trying to correct themselves, there's opportunities.